Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Agriculture and manufacturing, federal economics, the rate of economic growth. These topics, along with tariffs and trade, are to be discussed at the Economic Outlook Seminar. It's this afternoon at the Country Club of Sioux Falls. Panelists for the seminar today include Lon Strohschein. He's Director of Corporate Development at Raven Industries. Dr. David Shequin is Professor Emeritus of Economics and President Emeritus at South Dakota State University, and they're both with us here in Sioux Falls. Welcome and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
And then joining us also is Dr. Joseph Santos. He is Professor and Coordinator of Graduate Studies, Dyke House Scholar in Money, Banking, and Regulation, Department of Economics at South Dakota State University, and he is with us today from the Janine Basinger Studio at South Dakota State University. Dr. Santos, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, we're all together, we're all settled in. Let's start with the overall purpose of this Economic Outlook seminar. Like, you know, where does it originate? Who is the audience? Dr. Shequin, let's start with you.
Well, the State Chamber of Commerce has done an Economic Outlook seminar for several years. They changed the format a couple of years ago and have had it in the afternoon here in Sioux Falls. And it's for business and political leaders from across the state. And the focus is to provide some economic intelligence about what the current state of affairs are. And of course, economists always like to think they know what might happen in the future. So Professor Santos will hold forth on that.
Dr. Santos, do you have the crystal ball? Is that what we're all waiting for, to you to unpack your crystal ball and tell us what's ahead?
Of course. That's exactly right. My role this evening will be to discuss the economy as a whole, what we think of as the macroeconomy. So I like to say looking down from about 35,000 feet and describing the general features of economic performance, not just right now, but since the last financial crisis, and to think a little bit about how economic policy shapes these economic outcomes. So in particular, I'm thinking of Federal Reserve policy, interest rates, and the effect on things like unemployment, on income, personal income, and so forth.
I have a senior in high school, and she's going to take AP macroeconomics next semester, and I just can't wait, because then I'll understand, because she's so good at explaining things to me once she knows. And it's one of those things, Dr. Santos, where, you know, I know her, she'll come home and she'll say, this is so fascinating, and then she'll just explain it to me, and I'll be smarter than I am today.
That's right. No, it's, as I tell my students, we sell them the seat, but they only need the edge.
Good to know. Lon Strohschein, you're part of Raven and this whole precision agriculture conversation. Tell me a little bit of what your role in this seminar is going to be.
Sure. So so I'm a graduate of SDSU and I've got an economics minor. So I'm not nearly as versed as these two gentlemen in economics. But economics is a fact of business, and especially in agriculture. Your decisions you make today are based on your economics, your outlook on the economy and agriculture 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the future. So economics has a real impact on us. But we're the guys who make and lose money based on those decisions. It moves beyond theory and concepts and into profit and loss. And so it's how we pay attention to it, the emphasis we put behind it, the decisions we make around it really, really impact our company on a day-to-day basis.
Mm. Dr. Shequin, talk a little bit about how the seminar is broken down. I mean, is it mostly agriculture focused? Is it business? But like, give us an overview.
Professor Santos said, he'll lead off in trying to frame up what the current state of affairs are in the U.S. economy from a macro standpoint. And then I suppose the interest is on what does that mean for the region and for the state. In particular, then he has held forth, and I'm sure there's going to be a good exchange between he and the participants in the seminar to clarify facts and some of the things that he thinks are going to happen relative to macro policy and Fed interest rate policies. Then we get down to a really important segment of the South Dakota economy, which is agribusiness. And so we have, in addition to Lon, we have representatives from POET and from Valley Queen Cheese, which are value-add agricultural activities or businesses in the state. And the point is to try to have these business leaders talk about what has made them successful to date. And then as they look to the future, what are the things that are the biggest challenges and how are they going to address those challenges to keep their businesses growing and profitable over the next 2 to 3 years?
Dr. Santos, it seems like a year of big changes from everything from, you know, the Republican tax reform bill to trade and tariffs issues. There's a lot to sort through to sort of figure out what's coming up next.
There is. Luckily, they've given me 6 hours, so so I should be able to cover it. No, you're absolutely right, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening, in particular tariff policy, and also not so much the tax cut itself, but its consequences for economic activity and to what extent we are seeing the effects of that tax stimulus in the numbers now, and to what extent we think we'll continue to see that the effects of that stimulus. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are two very important issues. I mean, briefly, the thinking, I it's tough to speak for all of conventional macroeconomics, but I'll give it a shot. I think that the thinking is that the tax stimulus certainly is reflected in the data. We see it in growth and so forth, but we don't expect to see it for much longer. We suspect it will sort of burn off, if you will. And then there's the tariff, or what we call more generally trade policy. And again, there, I think I can very confidently speak for the for conventional macroeconomics in saying that we are very cautious to consider taxing any sort of activity that we think is beneficial, because we tend to get less of that activity. And so, in the case of trade, if we tax trade, we can be pretty confident that we're going to get less of it. And so, to the extent that I and my colleagues reason that the competitive forces of trade are very powerful, it promotes innovation, discovery, and so forth, we don't want to do anything to inhibit that. So as of now, again, from 35,000 feet, to be very honest, it's a very big economy. And so we don't expect that we would see the effects of tariff policy in the data at 35,000 feet. But again, as David was saying, and Lon as well, I suspect that at ground level, particularly if the ground is soil, we are going to notice the consequences of taxing trade within the context of commodities, which are very, we say euphemistically, flexible price goods. And so we are not surprised that the prices of those commodities are falling.
How about this concern, Dr. Santos, about the national debt, and as sort of some of the benefits of, you know, tax reform, you know, fade a little bit? What happens next for people who are saying they're very concerned about the deficit?
Sure, that's a really great question. We'll actually cover that as well. So, right now, just to give us some context, the outstanding debt of the United States government is roughly about 75% of gross domestic product. So it's a big number. It's $15, $16 trillion of debt. The way we tend to think of it, again, conventional macroeconomics is sort of agnostic on the number 75% versus 25 or 68. We tend to think of it in the context of sustainability. So what sort of macroeconomic conditions would we need so that, what did I say, 75% doesn't become 175% or and so forth? And it's a great question. Any reasonable assessment of these macroeconomic features, things like interest rates, the growth of the economy, we would need very optimistic numbers in order to keep the debt where it is. So again, it's tough to speak for the field, but I would say fairly confidently that that debt to GDP ratio is going to go up. That's because interest rates are going to go up. That's because the growth in the economy is going to slow a bit when the fiscal stimulus burns off. And it's also because the deficit is rising, and it's you know, again, numbers are sort of blurring. They're so large, but something like $400 or $500 billion is now estimated to be closer to the $1 trillion. That is how much we're in the red in 1 year. So as that deficit grows, that will also grow the debt. So I don't think we become, fiscally speaking, Italy or Greece within the next 6 months, because we have the extraordinary privilege of trucking in the dollar, which everyone cares to hold. But nevertheless, the debt is likely to rise as a percentage of GDP. I can say that quite confidently.
Dr. Shrikant, so sorry, take some of that that big picture and bring it down to the level of the soil or of the level of South Dakotans.
Well, I think it's really important for the business leaders that are going to be on the panel to interpret those macroeconomic factors and put them into the context of what they expect that will be happening for their business over the coming 2 or 3 years. It's clear that if the Fed continues to move its interest rates up, when prices go up, less is demanded, so the capital cost of capital is going to go up, so the investment might go down. And clearly, those sorts of considerations are what the business leaders have to take into account as they think about continuing to produce profits from the marketplace, whether it's domestic or international. And the two companies that are value-added, of course, draw their supply chains from the region, one being dairy and one being corn and cellulosic inputs. And then Raven is on sort of the other side of the equation, selling inputs into the agricultural system. So I think we'll have a rich conversation about the implications of what Joe just talked about on the ground for these three companies.
Mm. Lon Storsheim, put some of those things in perspective from a company level.
So yeah, you got to understand what Raven does. We provide the technology that helps producers produce more product on the same number of acres. So for us and companies like ours, and I would probably say that for Valley Queen and for Poet, we are 100% impacted by the sentiment and the performance of the macroeconomic agricultural sector. As producers and farmers make more and have more, they spend more. We all ride that same wave, and we're all on that same ship together, all of us in agriculture. So we share that toughness as it's been for the last 3 or 4 years. For us, it's kind of two-sided. So what we do for ag is a little bit different than what the other two, what Valley and Poet do, and that is we provide technology that helps bring down the cost of production, so that they can, if they're gonna produce 100 or 200 or 300 bushels per acre, maybe we can give them 3, 4, 5, 6% more. With a little bit of investment, we can give them the technology that helps them make decisions and carry out applications that gives them a better return on the same number of acres. So as they've got the price squeeze from tariffs and other macroeconomic factors, we're helping them compete just a little bit better. But on the other side, while we're a U.S.-based technology company in agriculture, and we design and manufacture products here, we still bring in some technology from China, for example. It's a small piece of what we bring in and integrate into our overall system, but that has had a fairly substantial impact on our pricing power as we're bringing in products that are also tariffed that we are then going to have to pass along to these same producers that are expecting to buy our product to be more competitive.
So does what you provide for farmers, you know, on the ground and the family farm level, allow them to diversify more too?
Well,
in theory, yeah.
It certainly can, absolutely.
All right, what's the next smart question here? Because I'm processing all this, and it's fascinating, and I think a lot of people who are listening are also saying, how does this affect my checkbook? So if I'm not in a business, but I'm running a small retail outlet, or I'm just trying to raise my kids and, you know, buy them their cap and gown for graduation, and maybe that's a question for Dr. Santos. Those big macroeconomic factors affect all of us, all the way down to those of us who don't think about them at all.
That's right.
And I have a minute left. So there, I've given you a minute for that big question.
Well,
sorry.
Sure. Well, there is no. It's actually a very good question. So as you're talking, I'm thinking wages. One of the features of this almost decade-long expansion that we didn't expect to see was the relatively slow growth in wages. So when you consider these households that you're describing, to what extent has their purchasing power grown over the last 10 years? And it's a complicated question that we'll also deal with tonight. Some of the reason is that, broadly speaking, and not to a person, but labor productivity is not very high.
We're going to have to stop there because people are going to have to come to the Economic Outlook Seminar. It's this afternoon at the Country Club of Sioux Falls. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.